We invite you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Mark, chapter number 5, the 5th chapter of the book of Mark. We want to look at the subject out of verse number 8, where Jesus said, "Come out of the man." We want to look at the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ over all principalities and powers, everything there is in the world. God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has absolute authority over them all. I want to caution you about something about this passage. I don't want this just to be a Bible lesson and us not be able to apply it. But the majority of religion, and the religion that even that has influenced us in our day, does not really believe in demons. If you mention the word demons, you will be mocked and laughed at in the world. But the church needs to realize that she has a warfare against demons. So I don't want this just to be I really enjoyed that Bible study. The brother brought out a lot of things I never had thought about. But then the next day it doesn't help you war against the evil influences that come from the powers of the devil and his demons. So I want you to take this to heart and be careful that you don't just file this under another Bible study. Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse number 1. "And they came over the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately, look at verse 6. "And when he, the demonic man, saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. So immediately there came out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." He was demon-filled. You have to understand that before we were saved, we had the power of darkness within us and the demonic forces that were leading us about wherever they would. But then once we got saved, God cast out all that demonic power out of us. And we understand and know that a Christian can be influenced by demonic forces, but they cannot be infilled with a demon. So we understand and see, dear soul, that bitter water and sweet water cannot come out of the same fountain. So we still have that warfare that we have to wage and be careful that we don't discard the authority and power and the influence of demons in our spiritual lives. So take this to heart, not just a Bible study, not just a Bible lesson, not just more influences as far as the outline and the scriptures and comparing scriptures is concerned, but helping you personally, helping me personally when we even by ourselves and those fiery darts of the wicked come against us, we understand and know who that is and what we're up against. Verse 3, "who had his dwelling among the tombs." Isn't that awful? That the demonic forces feel more at home in death and that which relates to death and darkness and ungodliness. And that's where this man was dwelling, who had his dwelling among the tombs. "And no man could bind him, no, not with chains." So I'm thankful that we see that the Lord Jesus Christ took care of him. He handled him. But he was not, quote, no man, unquote. He was God, the Son of God, the God-man. So no forces on earth could deal with this man. You're going to have to understand that. You need to stay close to Jesus. We need to stay close to the Lord. We need to seek the Lord while he may be found. We need to pray and we need to have consciousness of God. And we need to understand that we are of no match to the forces and powers of darkness that are in this world. They will destroy you. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's what they like to do. And they will do that if they can, if we let down our guard and we don't trust in the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, love him with all of our being. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And we need to have a God consciousness that we might have that which will stand against the powers of evil. I don't want this lesson to teach you to turn your back upon the sweet and wonderful and precious things of the Lord Jesus, because he's the one that should fill our hearts and minds. I don't want you to be studying about demons in so much that you go around looking for a demon behind every tree and under every rock. Jesus said, don't rejoice in that the demons have power, that you have power over demons. Look at Luke chapter 10. I'm going to give you a caution before we even get into the lesson. Luke chapter 10 and verse number 17. And the 70 returned. Jesus sent out 70 two by two. And the 70 returned again with joy. First thing out of their mouth, saying, Lord, even the devils. And the word demons is not in your King James Bible. It's always devils. But this is talking about demons. Lord, even the demons, the devils, are subject unto us through thy name. The power of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we pray, we say, thy, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray, amen. And we're not just, that's not just something that you quote. We are in the name of the Lord Jesus. We have the authority of Jesus. Jesus said, all authority is given me in heaven and in earth. Go ye in that authority. So he said, they said, we have the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said, let me tell you what I know. Behold, he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. He had already seen the powers of darkness through a prophetic view. And you'll find that in John chapter 12, 31 through 33. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So he already had seen that prophetically, the powers of darkness being destroyed by him coming, who is the light of the world. He said, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. He's not just talking about those wiggly things with fangs and stinging tails, talking about also and using them to refer to the demonic. I give you power over the serpent, that old devil, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. What? That's wonderful, isn't it? Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. The 70 returned again with joy, saying, they were rejoicing in this. He said, you shouldn't do that. That should not be the primary joy in your heart, the primary subject of your joy. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you. All right, if we're not to rejoice in that, what are we to rejoice in? Verse number 20 of Luke chapter number 10. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You should rejoice in your salvation more than you rejoice in being able to overcome the powers of darkness through the preaching of the word, through the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, through the name of Jesus applied to our hearts and minds. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first his righteousness. So I don't want this lesson to give you a problem. Lord forbid that I should ever bring anything to you that we would just, as they used to say, go to seed on it. We just go to think about that and that alone. So I know of a ministry where that happened. A great man of God, a man with great wisdom. And he got to preaching and teaching about demons. He got to writing books on demonology. And next thing you know, he left Christ behind. Folks, listen, as I say, he began to look for demons under every rock and behind every tree. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. This should be preached. This should be known. But it is not to take first place in your life. Christ alone is to take first place. As a brother was reminding me just a few minutes ago, one of the churches of Asia, he said, I see that you hate the Nickelodeons. I see that you despise this. I see that you do that, and all that's good. But I have one thing against you. You have left your first love. Folks, we should not get into Christianity so much that we lose the Christ of it. We should not get into so much of organized religion that we fail to seek first the kingdom of God and seek first the king. So listen to this lesson, but understand that it is to be put in its place in your Christian walk and in your Christian life. So he says, don't rejoice over the demons being under your authority and power, but rejoice that I've written your name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. All right, where were we? Mark chapter 5. No man could bind him, no, not with chains. Verse number 4. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. Wow, powerful man. And the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Again, no man in verse number 3, any man in verse number 4. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Dear soul, even the powers of darkness understand and know that they have got to give an account to God because Jesus Christ is sovereign Lord over all things. In the book of Job, it says in chapter 2, verse 1, and there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. When all the angelic forces came to present themselves before the Lord, evidently it was that which was established and set up by God long ago, and they knew they had to give an account. And one that came among them that knew he had to give an account was Satan also was among them. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ was established as sovereign Lord, and has been, but especially since Calvary and his resurrection. That was Job 2:1. This is Job 1:6. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. So when the Lord Jesus Christ shows up on the scene, when he steps out of the boat, immediately, it's what it says in verse number 2, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs. Get over here, boy, and give an account of yourself. Listen, folks. Jesus Christ is in sovereign, absolute control of all the holy angels and all the fallen angels, all the demonic forces, all of mankind, all of the ungodly, and all the redeemed. There's nobody and no thing that is not under the absolute sovereign control of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we hope that you will understand and see before this is over that you have to contend with such forces, but you don't have to contend with such forces apart from Jesus Christ. For we are no match to any of these powerful demonic forces of ourselves. We have authority over them only in Christ. So when Jesus steps out of the boat, immediately here comes one running, it says in verse 6, and bows down before him and gives an account of himself. And we're thankful that we can see that. 1 Peter, this is a precious verse. There was a time in my spiritual life when I was beset by the powers of darkness, and they were just overcoming me, and depression and anxiety and fear was gripping my mind and my heart and my soul. And I was crying out to God to have mercy on me. You say, can that happen to a Christian? Well, it happened to me. And dear soul, this is the verse God gave me to help me come out of that pit of darkness. 1 Peter 3:22. Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God. That's a place of absolute authority. He's on the right hand of the majesty on high. Listen. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. I quoted that verse in my prayers. I cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord, angels and principalities and powers are subject unto you. And I pray that you would rein them in and help me that I might learn how to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and the shield of faith wherein I could quench these fiery darts of the wicked. This old people will mock you and say and scoff at you and act like there's no such thing as demons. But you know there are because of the fiery darts of the wicked. Don't tell me that you have not ever had Satan and the powers of demons interject vile and filthy thoughts in your mind and heart sometimes when you were trying to pray. Sometimes when you were sitting in church and listening to a message, wow, that those thoughts come into your mind, the fiery darts of the wicked. God, the demons shooting those arrows unto you, and the only way you can handle them is hold up your shield of faith and say, wait a minute, I am God's child. You have no right to do this to me. I'm going to cast down this imagination and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. I'm going to use my weapons of warfare, which are spiritual. They're not carnal, but they're spiritual. And I'm going to use them against you. There's only two things you can do when Satan shoots those fiery darts of filthy and vile and wicked thoughts in your heart and mind. Two things you can do. You can give over to him and say, oh, I must be a lost sinner. I must not even be saved if I had thoughts like that. Or you can say, hey, wait a minute. I know where those thoughts are coming from. I know who is trying to interject those things in my mind. I have a Bible verse. It says these are the fiery darts of the wicked, and I am to control them by the shield of faith and rebuke the devil in Jesus' name and say, wait a minute. Jesus Christ is in authority over demons and angels and all powers. Everything in the angelic world is made subject unto him. 1 Peter 3:22. You need to memorize that verse. You need to use that verse and put it on your shield and make sure that Satan knows you know that. He can't, listen, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. If you will resist the devil by your faith in Jesus Christ and say, wait a minute, you can't use my brain to think those ugly thoughts. You can't use my brain to distract me with those lustful thoughts. You can't get my mind off into something, lust that my mind and my flesh loves to think about and get all into all of that kind of lewdness. You're not going to do it. I belong to Jesus Christ, and I'm going to reconquer myself for the glory of God. Use your shield of faith. Use that verse. Make sure you understand that you have authority over demonic forces by Jesus Christ being within you. All right, let's go on. And he was always day and night, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Verse number 7 of Mark chapter 5. And cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I adjure thee, I beseech thee, I plead with thee by God that thou torment me not. Now, I want you to understand something. Loud confessions, even in religion, are of no substitute for absolute obedience to Christ. He said with a loud voice, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God. That sounds like church. That sounds like men praying. That sounds like people giving their confession. You need to be careful, dear soul. Loud confessions and loud religious speeches cannot substitute for absolute obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Demons can do this. Demons do this. loud confessions. Oh, God, we thank you that... Be careful. Dear soul, I would rather see a man walking with God quietly and in submission to the Holy Spirit than hear him bring forth loud, you know, confessions and loud acclamations that he is just a great Christian and he knows who the Lord Jesus Christ is. The devils know who the Lord Jesus Christ is too. Listen at this confession this demon made. And he cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." And for he said unto him, for Christ had already said unto him, "Come out of that of the man, thou unclean spirit." That's the title of our lesson. Come out of the man. Dear soul, we need to understand that it is a labor every day. It is a labor all day long. You might even wake up at night with dreams that have really upset you. And you have to wake up praying and crying out to God for help. It is a constant warfare. Let me go to Ephesians chapter 6. Let me tell you what your Christianity is all about. Ephesians chapter 6. The book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brother, everything that he said in the first of five chapters, here is the final thing that he wants you to understand and he wants to leave with you. Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the power of his might. You're going to have to do that. You're going to have Jesus help you be strong in the Lord. You're going to have Jesus help you to be strong in the power of his might. You say, I am of no match to those things. Sometimes those fiery darts will buckle you to your knees, hit you so hard and make you feel so vile and unworthy that you'll just say, I can't, I must not be a Christian. Don't throw away Christ. He didn't throw you away. You come back and say, listen, I will not be separated from the Lord Jesus Christ who gave his life for me. He shed every drop of his life's blood that I might have life in him. For the life is in the blood. And I will not deny him. And I will not let you, Satan, do this to me, because I'm learning to be aware of the, quote, wiles of the devil, the tricks of the devil. You need to learn your enemy. Dear soul, when those wretched thoughts come into your mind, remember this. The Bible said, that which is born of God sinneth not. It's not the Spirit of God in you. It's not the Spirit of God. And it's not the Spirit of God in you doing that. That's the flesh being acted upon by the forces of darkness. Stand up in your spiritual man against your fleshly self and say, I will not have this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the deceits, the wiles, the deceits of the devil. Listen. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Do you hear that? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, we ain't talking about a boxing match. We're talking about wrestling. We're talking about he's going to get in on you. He's going to put a headlock on you. Listen, let me read that to you out of the Amplified. In conclusion, be strong in the Lord. Be empowered through your union with him. Draw your strength from him. That strength with his boundless might provides. Ephesians 6:11, Amplified. Put on the whole armor, the armor of a heavily armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. Now listen, Ephesians 6:12 out of the Amplified. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, that is, contending only with physical opponents. It's not that mean neighbor. It's not that co-worker that aggravates you so much. Yes, you see them, you know their name, you say that's them, you understand it's coming from them. But dear soul, you are up against the power of the devil using them against you. You need to understand that this is a spiritual warfare. And those people who are not saved, those people who do not have the Holy Spirit in them, are governed and guided by the unholy spirit and are susceptible to be used by demonic power against you at any time. So the Bible says, Ephesians 6:12, for we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but we are wrestling against despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this spirit, this present darkness, against the spirit. Let me slow down and go back. We're wrestling against despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly and supernatural spheres. You are up against the powers of the supernatural. You are up against the powers of darkness. It may be that man that lives next door to you, or that person that's on your job, or whoever. It may be that that person is aggravating you and that person is giving you a hard time, but you can rest assured that this is a warfare between the power of the demons in him and the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And Jesus Christ has already won that battle. He will win it again in you if you will call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for that man that despitefully uses you. Pray for that man who says all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Get into the spiritual Christian mode. Don't go get a lawyer. Don't buy you a shotgun. Listen, he killed my dog, I'm going to shoot his cat. Listen, don't return evil for evil. That's not what Christ did. That's not what he does to you. That's not what he does to me. If I don't do right concerning the Lord, he always does right concerning me. We need to learn to be Christians, not just to on the name of religious attendance, but actually be those Christian spirits born of the Holy Ghost. We need to take on the persona and the personality of Jesus Christ. So you need to understand, first of all, it's not that person. It's not that woman. It's not that girl. It's not that boy. It's not that man that's driving you crazy. It's the powers of darkness through them. But dear soul, understand this. You need to get back to Romans 8:28 and understand that God is providing you with these personal aggravations so that you might exercise your faith and become strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That little old baby with all that baby fat all over him. Somebody said they got more chins than a Chinese phone book. They do. Gobby fat legs. And first thing you know, you go in there where the baby bed is, and there's that kid pulling up on the baby bed and his knees are wobbling. You know what? That resistance, the gravitational pull, and the lack of those muscles being made strong yet are working against it. But finally, it will learn how to pull up. And so it's that which resists us that gives us opportunity to exercise our Christianity and our Christian faith and quit just singing the songs and quoting the scriptures and learn to live in the vitality of the spirit of life in Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. That's what God is helping us to do. What did you say about Romans 8:28? And we know, but we don't seem to act like we do. And we know that all things, not all good things, not all pleasant things, not all good tasting things, but the bitter and the sour and the things that are make us fearful and are scary to us, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. Did you not want your child to grow up? You say, well, sure. Did you help them to grow up? Yes. Did you take them in your arms and love them when their knees wobbled and they fell and hit their face on that coffee table in the living room? Yes, I sure did, and I felt so sorry for them. And for their sake, I'd hit that table and say, bad table. And I taught that child that we're not going to take the table out of the living room. We're going to help you learn how to live with the table in the living room. God's not going to take out evil influences. They are for your good. Do you not remember 1 Peter 3:22? He is in authority and control over all the powers of darkness. All of the angels and principalities are made subject unto Him. So we are to grow up and learn how to deal with these things. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You need to get that in your head. We need to get that in our heart. We need to understand. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When those enemies come at you and try to destroy you and they say all manner of evil against you falsely, listen, yes, it's like that little baby whining and crying, oh, what has happened to me? It happened to you to learn to live with the furniture that's in the living room, because this is our house and this is where we live, and you're going to have to learn to live with it. And God has provided you with a defeated devil. God has provided you with defeated forces of darkness. He destroyed him. Let me read you Hebrews 2:14 again. I read you this all the time. It ain't been tore out of my Bible, so I'm going to read it to you again. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood. Were you born of a physical mom and daddy? Yep, me too. Everybody is. We are partakers of flesh and blood. He, Christ also, himself likewise took part of the same flesh and blood. The incarnation was accomplished in order for your regeneration to be aided and to be given authority and strength over all forces of darkness. The incarnation is God coming down to man. Regeneration is you coming up to God. And those two meet, and you're married to the Lord Jesus Christ in spirit. You become His bride. So He said, I know that you're partakers of flesh and blood, and I know that's scary. Sometimes it is. Dear soul, you find yourself on the front line. Used to, there was mom and daddy, grandmom and granddaddy. Used to, there was former pastors and teachers and all that stood before you and stood in the gap. And now they're dead and gone. Guess who's left to stand in the gap now? Me. You. Well, that's scary, right? But God is not going to take that coffee table out of the living room. You're going to have to learn to live with it. And it's a blessed thing for us to be made strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That's what it's all about. We need to lose that little gobby fat that we had. We need to be strong in the Lord. We need to grow up in Him in all things. Listen. For as much then as the children, the elect, are partakers of flesh and blood, we are human beings. He also himself likewise took part of the same. Why? Next word. That. Because that through death, what? God, who is life, had to die in order that you might have the strength of the Holy Spirit to fight the devil in your life. Isn't that something? Now listen, soul, if the life himself, God doesn't just give life, he is life. He is life, and he died. How can Christ the mighty maker die for man the creature's sin? I don't know, but he did. And he went to those limits, beyond limitations, that he might, listen, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is your understanding. It is your provision of being able to face whatever forces come up against you. There hath no temptation taken you but that which is common to man, and God is faithful. The next time that little old baby comes in the living room, sees that coffee table, and they crawl over to it, they're a lot more careful about pulling up on it now. They remember that pain of their lip. Dear soul, listen, if the devil comes at you with those fiery darts or whatever tricks he brings against you, and he's successful in doing it, and you remember the shame, you remember how guilty you felt at giving into those temptations, and you, like Peter, after he denied the Lord, went out and wept bitterly. There's more understanding and teaching in Peter's life in going out and weeping bitterly than in anything else that had preceded it. Nothing will teach you more to live in the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ than giving over to the powers of the flesh and giving over to the temptations of the devil and having to face God and be shamefaced and feeling that guilt. You say that's not good. No, it's not good, but it is good. Nothing else will teach you. Nothing else will bring you to an understanding of how we should need to pull Christ's authority and power and say, wait a minute, resist the devil. I ain't going to do that again. Yes, my flesh loves that. Yes, my flesh wants that. Yes, it is very, it's warm and endearing to my flesh. But it's sin. And what is it that put Jesus Christ on the cross? What is it that put scars on the holy humanity of God? My sin. Therefore, I don't want to get in on it anymore. So me and that coffee table have got a whole different relationship than what we used to have before it busted my mouth and blood ran out. You say, been there. I did that. I'm not going to do it anymore. Lord, help me. Lord, I want to do it just as powerfully and just as strongly as I used to. My flesh is still wanting that. My flesh is still wanting to go back to Egypt and eat the leeks and garlics therein. It was so tasty to me. And yes, my flesh loves that. But that which is born of God, the spiritual man, sinneth not. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to resist my flesh. I'm going to ask Jesus to say, come out of the man. And he will. You have never, ever, ever, ever asked the Lord Jesus Christ to help you overcome a lust and a power of the devil that he did not come and help you do it. He won't fail you. He can't fail you. In fact, on the cross, he said that he didn't fail you. It is finished. John 19:30. What does that mean? The powers of the devil are finished. The devil does not have any power except that which we allow him to have. What do you say? I said, the only power the devil and the demons have over me is that which I yield to them and give them authority to have. Jesus Christ says, come out of the man. What do we say? Well, it's just a little sin. There ain't no such thing. Any sin is what pierced the hands of the holy humanity of God. Any sin is that which pressed the thorns down upon his holy brow. God have mercy. We need to flee from sin. Let me finish reading this. Hebrews 2:14, for as much then as the children are partakers of the flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same. He became flesh and blood too, to help you out, that through death, all the way to death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And number two, deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. That fear is that which caused you to have that bondage upon you. We sing a song, cast out our sin and enter in, abide in us today. Oh, dear soul, listen. The warfare that we have is with our flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ has conquered death, hell, and the grave. And all he need be done is to all we need to do is to call upon him. Call upon him while he's near. Cry out to God, and he will come and he will abundantly pardon. He will save you. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able. Some of your older children, I know life is the same. There's nothing new under the sun. They have come to you at times and say, why do you let the younger child get away with so much? You wouldn't let me get away with that. Well, that's true. Because you're older, you ought to know better. It's not that thing is less of a problem with them, and it's not that we love them more than we loved you. But we are meeting out to the age and the ability of the age exactly that which needs to be met out to them. You will not allow the responsibilities of the teenager to be placed on the adolescent. God will help you according to your need, help you according to your ability. He will say, come out of the man. No matter where you are, what the temptation is, or what the trial is, God will help you. In fact, he already has. He destroyed him that had the power of death at the cross. It just needs to be applied in time now. Lord, have mercy. Here we go back to Mark chapter 5, verse 8. For he, Christ, said unto him, the Spirit, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? Made him give an account of himself. What is thy name? Tell me who you are. What does that mean? It means God's got them named. He knows who they are. He knows where they're supposed to be. He knows what they're supposed to be doing. He knows to whom they are supposed to be bringing these things. Listen, he answered saying, my name is Legion. That word Legion has to do with thousands. The International Standard Bible Encyclopedia said a legion is 6,000. I thought it was 1,000. I've always said that. But those people that wrote the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia are far more intelligent than I am, and he said that it is 6,000. Well, I know one thing. It was in verse number 13, there was 2,000 hogs. So there was enough demons to fill up 2,000 hogs. Now, I do want you to be careful about one thing while I am thinking about it. In Matthew chapter 8 and verse 28, it tells us that there were two men possessed with the devils that lived in the tombs and exceedingly fierce, so that no man may pass that way. Matthew says there were two. I don't doubt that there were two. Why does Mark say there was one? He didn't say there was only one. He said, this is the one I'm going to deal with. The Bible cannot be broken. The truth cannot be broken. There were two of them, but Mark writes about one of them. Nothing wrong with that. But we are legions. So my name is legions, for we are many. So we understand that there was more than one man and there was thousands of demons. Now, how in the world can a man get possessed with even more than one demon? Well, Luke chapter 11, our time is getting away fast. Let me give you this. Luke chapter 11, when the unclean spirit, verse 24, Luke 11, 24, is gone out of a man, the demon walketh through dry places. Evidently, they like moist regions. Seeking rest. That's what the demon wants. He wants a moist place to seek rest. And finding none, he said, I'm going to go back to that man I was in, and he calls him my house. I will return unto my house once I came out and just see how it's doing. When he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Hey, boys, I know y'all are more wicked than me. I want to try to please you if I can. Don't want you to be mad at me. I think I got something you'll like. And they entered in and dwelt there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. How does a man get filled with more than one demon? By false profession of faith. By attaining morality through evangelism rather than righteousness. Billy Graham is going to have a lot to answer for, not just him. All the soul-winning occult is going to have a lot to answer for because they help people to attain morality. Well, my husband went to a Billy Graham campaign or crusade or whatever. My grandson went to a church and they had a big revival. And now you ought to see him. He don't smoke anymore. He quit cussing. And he's just a changed man. But did he get saved? Did he just get morality? If he did, he just got his house swept and cleaned and garnished. Now it's empty and it's clean and looks nice. Watch out. Here comes that demon back again. And that's where the doctrine of being able to lose your faith and lose your salvation comes in. Because multitudes of men, I'm just not talking about just males, multitude of human beings have been under the influence of religion and only got morality. And now they don't smoke and they don't chew and they don't go with the ones that do. But be careful. Are they still in church? Have they started cussing and smoking again? Have they added on even more filthy habits? Dear soul, you be careful. Jesus Christ said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You need to get righteousness. You can be moral and not be righteous, but you can't be righteous and be immoral. You can get a case of the do-betters, and you better watch out, because that's what attracted all these demons to come and infill this man, and we are thousands. We are legions. The latter end of that man is worse than the beginning. 1 Peter, I hope it is, chapter 2. It may be 2 Peter. It is 2 Peter chapter 2. Here it is. These preachers, in verse 18, speak great swelling words of vanity, loud proclamations of Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God. They allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise these converts liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, preachers themselves, of whom a man is overcome, of the same as he brought in bondage. Now listen, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord, he went out and bought him a Bible. Now he's cleaned up his act. Yeah, but did he get saved? Man, our time's gone. Let's finish this out. If after they've escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. It would have been better for them never have gotten involved with evangelism than to wind up getting filled with more demons. Verse 21. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. What happened to them? Verse 22 of 2 Peter chapter 2. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog, they never became a sheep, they still are a dog, returned to his own vomit again. And the sow, the pig, never became a sheep, they were still a pig that was washed on the outside, has returned to her wallowing in the mire. Dear soul, we need to be careful. For a lot of people that said they were saved, a lot of people that joined the church, a lot of people that brought Bibles and cleaned up their act, can now be filled with demons because there's nothing inside of them to keep them out. You need to make sure that you know the Lord Jesus Christ and that he is in you by regenerating grace, and God has filled you with his Spirit. The Holy Spirit in you is the only deterrent against demonic forces entering into you. Our time is gone. It gets by so fast. Lord willing, we'll take up where we left off right here in our second lesson on Come Out of the Man. Thank you for your attention.